Time to welcome back into the fold once again, Keane Manning, our history man extraordinaire. Good to see you, Keane.
Thanks for having me again. There was no hauntings from our previous
conversation. Well, I'm glad to hear, because we certainly have a spooky tendency in this month of October towards our history remembrances, let's just say. And of course, Waterford being Ireland's oldest city, there's bound to be all sorts of connections there, is there not?
Yeah, I think that's the beauty when you're kind of like looking at folklore as well, that there is such an interesting mix between city and county and towns, and there's a massive oral tradition then as well. So we're kind of actually moving into the heart of the old part of the city.
Very much.
We're looking Peter Street.
Peter
today.
Street, yeah. A spooky procession on Peter Street.
Yeah, this is.
We're not talking Spree.
No, a little bit before Spree.
Right.
But not too far. It's one of these, it kind of mixes detail again from the period. So we're looking at kind of 1798 and a little bit into.
A tough year in Ireland.
Yeah, very much so. And a little bit into the early 20th century. So our story starts with a surgeon aboard a British warship called George Alexander Waters, and he comes into contact with a figure that's known as Bowen the Rebel, B-O-W-E-N, and he is trying to warn this United Irishman to basically skip town, leave town, or you face being arrested and you also face being hung.
Right.
So like most Waterford men, as a lot of Waterford women highlight, Bowen didn't listen to the warning, completely ignored it, and it ended up in leading to his demise.
Wow.
So we believe.
Some people just can't take a hint.
We believe what occurs subsequently then is some way related to the spirit of Bowen in this story. So Waters came from a very highly regarded family in the city. Apparently they established the academy in the manor, which would have been an educational institution primarily for men. The family, as you can imagine then, if he was a surgeon, was pretty well to do.
Oh, I would say.
For that period. So it lived in Peter Street, which was seen as a very salubrious location for the well-to-do.
Indeed. Some fine Georgian buildings and what have you.
Yeah, yeah. So very much a highly respected figure in the civic life of the city, and also well reimbursed for it too. So he had a property on Peter Street, which had an archway providing access to the rear of it. So it was kind of very distinguishable. It was really well known. And a number of his naval colleagues used to stay with him in the property. So obviously he was talking to his brother at the time, because his brother stayed with him one night, and as you would the following morning, asked, "How did you sleep?" Basically, his brother looked at him and said, "George, if you made me a present of my ship, I would not spend another night in your house."
Wow.
So, of course, the follow-up question is,
what happened?
Why did you not sleep?
Indeed.
So, apparently, George's brother was awoken during the night by his bed gently levitating towards the ceiling.
God, that'll do it right enough.
So I think that would sober you up. That would wake you up fairly quickly.
Wow.
As your head is hurtling towards the ceiling of your bedroom.
You didn't have a bad kebab or something on the way home, or?
Obviously the bed must stop levitating, because our individual in the story says they then heard a noise from the street. They went to the window. I always find in like horror movies, when you hear the noise, what usually comes into my head is, don't go.
Indeed.
Stay there. But this individual didn't. They opened the curtain to see a mute procession arriving, the foremost carrying a coffin. So this is kind of in the middle of the night, this sort of funeral procession.
A rather strange spectre.
Very much so. And it seems like this sort of ceremony is taking place. Coffin is placed on a bier, sort of like a kind of like a platform. They remove the lid of the coffin, and then they could hear sounds in the distance. It's obviously an eerie silence.
Mm.
And the sound is the rustling of a silk dress. And from the passageway then comes a lady dressed in black, and she emerges from the passageway and slowly gets up onto the coffin and then enters it with the lid slowly closed. And then the mourners continue the procession in silence.
Very strange.
Now, I don't think I would have waited till breakfast to have a conversation about any of that.
God, I must tell the brother about that tomorrow morning.
Is it?
Over the scrambled eggs.
It might just be that kind of mild-mannered, stiff upper lip type thing.
Hmm.
WTF comes to mind.
Yeah.
For the hour of the day that we're in.
Indeed.
But it's not the end of these kind of unexplainable, spooky occurrences that happen in Peter Street. So a neighbour of our surgeon is a local grocer called Toby Wilson. And apparently every morning he used to greet the doctor, sort of remark, "How late your party stayed dancing last night. My wife and I cannot sleep for the noise." Now, again, I would say, why did you wait till the morning and not...
Indeed, hammer on the door.
And our rat-a-tat-tat. Waters would then respond by saying, "We had nobody, but we thought you had revelers."
Wow.
So again,
unexplainable disturbances there.
Are we lucky that we do have stronger alcohol licensing laws?
Mm-hmm.
Better health and safety.
I'm beginning to wonder.
But again, like our previous story, it's the kind of vagueness and kind of the unsettling nature of it, that if it was a silent procession, would you hope it was actual people, or would you prefer if it was spirits?
My God. Another spooky tale. Keane Manning, thank you so very much as we try to make our way home without looking behind every crevice and door.
Without getting nervous.
Indeed, yeah. Thank you so very much.